We're gonna have to do a whole episode just on games in the classroom. But we should do that. Welcome to Tech Connect, your semi-regular podcast from the Coloma Technology Department, answering your questions, talking about technology, talking about instruction, and really good pancake recipes. I'm seeing lots of nods.
Matt, around. What's your best pancake recipe? You're on the spot.
I just go with the Bisquick. The good old classics, pre-made mix, and some chocolate chips in there for some extra spice and flavor.
All right, folks, we're going to work on that one. We'll work on that one. So I am Ben Rimes. I'm the technology director here for Coloma Community Schools. And to my left?
I'm Matt. I'm the IT support specialist here at Coloma Community Schools.
Mr. Mars, Dan Mars, the director of curriculum and state and federal programs, with a toe or two in instructional technology still.
And Tanya, the educational technology specialist for the district.
Awesome. So we usually start every podcast just going around and saying what we're up to. We'll try and keep it brief because today is a special podcast. We've got about a dozen or so questions from students that we're going to try and answer. Like I said, we want to get to those. So real quick, what's everyone been up to? Myself, just been putting the finishing touches on a couple of installations, working with vendors for some new environmental sensors that are in the bathrooms that students are now very well aware of. And if you aren't, well, surprise.
Hint, hint.
They're there.
They're in the bathrooms.
And they work.
And we're now working on, we just finished up putting brand new projectors in the junior high. They're really cool. The teachers and the students have been playing around with them. They're interactive. You can touch the whiteboard and it's interact with the projector of the computer. Really cool stuff. So that's what I've been up to. How about you, Matt?
I've been doing a lot of like behind the scenes, running around, answering tickets. If you see me in your classrooms, it's unfortunately because your computer's not working. But kind of just been doing a lot of behind the scenes stuff like that. I've also, if you might see me out at the baseball fields because I am JV baseball coach. And then kind of just been doing anything to support the installs, you know, the projectors and vape sensors have been putting in.
Nice.
For me, it's been continuing to kind of look ahead and start making some plans for next year. Got my private school participation letters out to all the area private schools within 30 miles of how the crow flies. So it's been interesting to send letters all the way to Cassopolis and Goebbels. And yeah, so it's been interesting to kind of go through that process and then just kind of starting to make our plans for summer migrant this year. So we'll have our summer migrant camp school running in June, July, and August for our migratory students over the summer at the intermediate school. So very excited about that, and we'll see some postings coming out Monday.
Cool. All right. What have you been up to, Tanya?
Well, we just finished a little educational tidbit of trying to work on the projectors and getting the teachers familiar with some of the features that are offered. And I actually have upgraded the tech office in the junior high. We have some fancy lights and got it nice and organized and cleaned, and hopefully going to welcome some groups of students in here soon for maybe some enrichment.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited about that because some of the students have been in this space and it's been transformed and turned into a really cool little STEM enrichment center. So excited for that. All right, so as promised, we got a bunch of questions from students. This isn't something we usually do. We usually try and talk just to the teachers, answer their questions, but at least once a year we ask students questions, and this time around I sent the email out to all the junior high and high school students, and we got about a dozen questions. Some of them are legitimate questions. Owen says hi. Hi back at you, Owen.
Hi, Owen.
So what we're going to do is we're going to try and go through these questions. But before we do that, I just wanted to let everyone know that we're really, really excited to be able to support all of you like this. This is something that we're really getting back into on a regular basis, so that the use of technology in our school district is always an ongoing conversation, so we can really push it to its limits and make it engaging and fun. So, first question from KJ. Why does the tech department have music blocked, music websites blocked, such as SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, even though studies show that listening to music increases productivity in students? I really like this question because when I was teaching, I always had music playing in the background, but I did not have, I mean, I was teaching before SoundCloud and Spotify and Apple Music and YouTube Music were a thing, but I was always playing classical music because a lot of those studies are based on controlled environments utilizing classical music. So I would always have that going as like brain enhancing music. But that doesn't get to the heart of his question. The heart of his question, really, honestly, because our filters are categorical. And what that means is we just have large categories of the internet blocked because it's just practical. I don't want to say it's easier to do, but it's realistically, but it's easier to do.
Categorical blocking for the win. Trust me, as a former classroom teacher, we would come across things. I taught government, and you know, the Second Amendment is the right to bear arms, and you want to read about different opposing viewpoints of the Second Amendment, and because it's about firearms, blocked. So like it was very difficult to kind of work around that and kind of do, but yes. Part of it too is I've seen kids choose music. Like I understand putting music over the speakers in the classroom. I did the same thing in my classroom. But one of the things that might happen is like you get 5 minutes into, or not 5 minutes, most songs aren't 5 minutes anymore. But you get 2 minutes into a song and then you want to skip a song and then you don't like the next song and your productivity has just cratered because you're trying to find the right beat or the right lyrics to work to and you're just not getting there. So like you're spending more time picking a song. It's like when doing a project in the class, like, you know, tell the kids not to, you know, don't worry about the font and the colors and that kind of stuff right now. Just get the content down. And it's kind of the same thing is there's a lot of distractions with those music sites that will, you know, maybe not allow us. But ask your teacher if they can play music over the speakers. You know, there's a lot of great, you know, music that I think a lot of people can agree upon, regardless of who you are. And then maybe the teachers can play that over the classroom speakers, and that would be super helpful to increase your productivity.
Yeah, there we go. I like it. It's an issue about creating the mood in the room. Okay, we got another one. It says nothing really. Okay, we got another question. There's no name on this one. There's the email address, but I don't know the name. Someone wants to know, what are your thoughts?
It's Andrew.
Andrew. Okay.
Smart chip in the Google Doc. There.
Andrew wants to know, what are your thoughts on Windows 11 versus Windows 10? Anyone have thoughts?
I guess I can jump in real quick. I have a lot of experience with different Windows operating systems. I've used everything from XP, like Windows 97, like way back in the day, to more modern 7, 8, 10, 11. 11 isn't, from my opinion so far, isn't vastly different than 10. Some things did get cleaned up that I'm a fan of, like the new start menu, how it has more of an open screen for your recently used apps instead of just like a side panel that you scroll through on the side. Another initial observation I've made, previous Windows operations seem to be more for like a mobile application, like that's what Windows 8 was a big push for, and they seem to be finally moving away from that a little bit and kind of moving more to your traditional desktop operating systems. You know, most of the things actually seem like they're meant for a computer instead of, you know, like in Windows 8 where it was just kind of a big panel
Windows
of apps that you look.
Yes,
Windows like, Windows 8 was a mistake.
They aren't trying to shoehorn mobile apps onto the desktop.
And that was a problem I saw in previous versions of Windows, and that's kind of going the way of the dodo, it seems, with 11. So that I'm a big fan of 11, and I'm excited for our new laptops that are coming out to have it and other things.
Yeah, and by new laptops, that's specifically for the teachers. Yeah. We're refreshing. We have a four-year refresh cycle. This year, the elementary teachers will be turning in their old laptops. The new laptops they're getting will have Windows 11. I like it. I think it runs faster, smoother, and it looks a lot more like Chrome OS in some ways and functions OS, more like Chrome OS and Mac OS.
It's a it's a little bit simplified user interface, I think. And I think for a lot of people, like especially when you've maybe been on Chromebooks or come from like an iPad, you're starting to kind of see some of those similar, like here's my start, here's where my apps go, and it's just a little bit easier, you know, based on that, in my opinion. So. Yeah.
Cool. All right. So there we go. There's our thoughts on Windows 10 versus Windows 11. All right, Jaden wants to know, why can't we go back to pencil and paper? Tanya, I think you got some thoughts on this question.
Well, what's saying that you can't go back to pencil and paper?
Ooh.
I think that that is a learning choice, and you know, it's good to have a little variety, and doing everything on the computer all the time is not necessarily the best, and doing everything on pencil and paper all the time isn't necessarily the best. So I really think that a good mix and a good variety of assignments and, you know, the, being able to produce something different every time is a great opportunity, great learning model.
Choose the right tool for the right job.
Right.
Right. You're not going to bring a jackhammer into your bedroom to hang a picture.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so it's about a little bit about personal preference. Like, yeah, here I am in the technology department, and I still take a lot of my notes on paper using a pen.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I just find it easier.
You
I
do.
Find I recall a little bit better, and it's just it's a lot easier for me to organize the way that I want my notes to appear.
Yeah.
So
now if the question and I like both of those thoughts, and that's exactly it. Like, you need to use. Hopefully, you know, teachers and students are using technology with intention and using it where it's appropriate and where it actually makes the learning better. But the heart of the question is, like, why can't we go back to pencil and paper? Like, what if we just got rid of all the Chromebooks and just went back to pencil and paper? I don't know if that's necessarily a reality in this day and age to just say, nope, you know, all learning's going to be on pencil and paper now, right? Because there's just so much information and knowledge and resources that are online. I mean, it would essentially be saying, okay, we're going to just ignore this giant pile of gold and instead just go ahead and make a few bucks and take that around with us and we'll be fine. Like, I don't know if that's a great analogy, but there's really a wealth of information out there that's we'd be doing a disservice by saying we're done with technology.
And realistically, too, like, depending on what you want to go on, I have a cousin who's in the trades. He's a journeyman electrician, and he doesn't have blueprints for wire diagrams anymore.
Yeah.
He's got an iPad.
He's got a pad,
and
yep.
He opens up the iPad, and he can zoom in. He can go, and you know what? It doesn't get wrecked. It doesn't get ruined. There's no, you know, he's got it protected. And it's a lot easier than, like, having paper blueprints, having to lay it out someplace, having to return to it. And you know, again, I kind of think a lot of the fields that our students are going to go into are going to be using technology. So it's important that we learn a little bit about how to use that technology.
Yep. And not just use and not use it, just to add on, not use it in the sense of I know how to type using the home row, I know how to navigate, but just like I know how to use it intentionally, I know how to use it appropriately when my teacher or my boss asks me to complete these tasks. Okay, now I'm just going to go over to YouTube Music and spend an hour and a half. Gotcha, KJ. Spend an hour and a half trying to find the right music that I want to listen to get the job done, and then I don't get the job done. All right. Josephine wants to know, what can I screen record? Oh, how can I screen record and record my voice with it? So either record your voice with the Chromebook or screen record or both.
So one of the cool things about Chrome OS is that they've recently added this as a feature, and we just put out a Camp Chromebook video about that. So on the Camp Chromebook YouTube page, there's a video there. And I know that it's been shared with Mrs. Andreina's class. Excuse me. And I know that it's been shared with Mrs. Andreina's class. So we definitely have the opportunity there, but we can include that link in the session, the show description for this, so that you have access to it. But it's really easy. You go down to the status area where your clock is, and then there should be an option that says record screen, and then mm-hmm. you just got to do a couple clicks to get it right. You can even have it save automatically to your Google Drive. So if you're on a loaner device, it's really cool for that. But that's all laid out in that video. It's about a 3-minute video, and then it'll show everything that you need to know for that, Josephine. So pretty straightforward, pretty simple. And if you have further questions, be happy to help assist you in that.
Yep. All right there. And anyone can get to Camp Chromebook if you go up to your Coloma bookmarks in the upper left-hand corner of your browser. It'll say Coloma bookmarks. If it doesn't, put in a ticket. We'll show you how to show for those to pop up in Camp Chromebook's there. Savannah wants to know, what would we do if it crashed, if technology crashed?
Wednesday. Yeah, we experienced that this week.
She was a little ahead of the ball game.
Savannah, did you have something to do with Wednesday?
Yeah, we're laughing because the big bad storm that came through on Wednesday, there were a couple of lightning strikes really close to school, and one of those surges came through and fried our firewall and took our internet down for quite a good portion of Wednesday, and we're still limping along on loaner stuff. I mean, that's a great question, and I think it's one of those things where, honestly, every teacher is going to come up with a different solution, like what they're going to be doing in class. There still are plenty of paper-pencil activities that they do to engage, and there's still plenty of conversation-based learning that can happen. But if everything crashed, like, if the internet was going to be down for several days, yeah, we'd have to. I don't know.
Paging Jackson County.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so there was a school district, several school districts over in Jackson County.
Jackson and Hillsdale County earlier this year. Yeah.
Yeah. Everything was taken down. It wasn't just the internet. It was all of their internal communication tools and their power school. Everything. They shut down. Like, they closed down school. They treated them like snow days for 3 days. Mm. So, I'm not. That's not a promise. It's not a promise. No one in this room right now talking is in control of that. That's
we have zero say in snow days.
But yeah, okay. TJ wants to know: will computers ever run on something else besides electricity, like maybe water?
I guess I'll take a stab at this a bit. I don't see in the foreseeable future any kind of real alternative, fuel or anything like that. Like, we have a water-powered computer. But I think it's a very creative, and that is that innovative thinking is what we need in technology, and that is what's getting us, to the future, technology of the future. We will see some changes in computers, though. We're seeing things like quantum computing. It's a very hot, out there area of computers that only the top researchers in the field are doing. But that's kind of the next age of computers. It has to do a lot with atoms and stuff like that. But, that's kind of our next generation of supercomputers. And to kind of break the bubble, they don't run on water, but they do have to be, this is kind of cool, they do have to be kept at just about absolute zero. So you get these icy cold computers that's kind of our direction of the future that we're heading. You'll have a nice freezer running next to you at your desk.
Yeah, there you go.
And it's not necessarily a computer, but it's got a lot of computer components. Some of the workout machines that have come out recently don't need a plug anymore, and you can power the screen on that device as you pedal the pedals on the stationary bike or move the legs on the elliptical, so that you can have that sort of power going. You're using kinetic energy there. Mm-hmm. You're not using your electricity. So it's a little bit of a way to kind of do that. And it can still have a plug, too, like if you need to have, that glowing orb in your room at that time. But
So basically, I think what we're getting at is for the foreseeable future, everything's going to run on electricity. How we generate that electricity, whether it's quantum computing or even there are some prototype photonic computers where the circuits are actually driven instead of electrons, electricity moving through them. It's light and photons, but that's being produced by lasers, which are being powered by electricity. So in all of these cases, even in the workout equipment, electricity is still being generated to power these components. Mm-hmm. So that's where we're at. Maybe renewable energies like water and air and everything,
the USB-powered windmill.
Yes. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, you'd take the little plug into your computer and stand next to the windmill, and then you can run.
Yeah. All right. So Lucas says, will you guys be embracing student-owned devices due to many students owning them and bringing them to school? I'm just going to address this directly. It's really not something that's up to the technology department. This is like a partnership. So the technology department very rarely gets to dictate this is what will happen. It's always an ongoing conversation with administrators and students. But for now, if you're in class and the teacher needs to be able to manage that classroom, you need to be on a student device, because we've got GoGuardian, and that's how GoGuardian manages and allows teachers to manage the devices and manage the learning environment. It only works with the school-owned devices, not personal devices. So for the foreseeable future, I don't know. But for right now, nope. How do computer screens fit the actual screen when all the gears and stuff and everything that's going on, but it's so thin? Okay, so I think what Colin is saying is there's a lot of stuff inside of a computer. How are they so thin, especially the screen so thin? Anyone want to tackle that one?
I guess since I'm the one that takes apart all these Chromebooks and puts them back together, I'll put a little stab on that. Well, the really cool thing about modern computers, way back in the day, you have your big tube TVs, you know, some of you, if you're old enough to remember those, they kind of just shot particles at a big glass screen. That's kind of the simplest way of looking at it. And nowadays, we found that instead of using up all the space for that, we kind of just have a clear panel. LCD, if you've heard of it, stands for liquid crystalline display. So we kind of just have this liquid inside your screen.
So they are powered by water.
Yes, we're starting to we're getting there. And then that liquid, based on what you want it to light up, what you want your screen to look like, the sensors and lights and stuff behind that liquid light up in different patterns that we, you know, recognize as our desktop or a Google Chrome page or something like that. But because of that, we don't have to have these big, bulky gears and all that. It can just be a lot simple, you know. Electricity goes in one end, in through the liquid, and out the end. That's essentially why they're so thin nowadays.
Yeah, there we go. And right, and to your point, you're talking about the individual on the LCD panels or LEDs. They're all self-contained. It's not like there's liquid going in or out. They're all self-contained, like a cell.
Yeah, I didn't mean it quite like that.
But there's been nothing mechanical inside computers for decades now.
Yeah.
They used to be mechanical, and way back in the day when a computer would fit in, when you would need a classroom or maybe even a gymnasium to hold a single computer because it was that big, it was all mechanical, and there were lots of gears and dials and lots of diodes and lots of vacuum tubes. Mm-hmm. But we don't need that technology anymore because...
Advancements in the electricity running through the computer has made it so we can now store the information in the electricity. So it's taken a lot of the mechanical aspects of computing out.
There we go.
And simplified and advanced.
All right. Jerry wants to know, Jerry, how can I change my password? Tanya?
Oh, you can't. I'm sorry. You're stuck with it.
No, if students do want to change their password, what should they do?
Please go to the office and ask the office to put in a ticket for you, and one of us will meet with you in the office and get that taken care of for you.
Yeah, super easy. You can totally change it. Just come down and let us know. and we're happy to do that. If you've been listening this long, thank you for listening. We appreciate it. We'll be back in a couple weeks with our regular format, answering questions from teachers and talking about some other projects coming up for the summer. So that's it. Thanks, everyone.
Adios.
So long.
See you.